present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an item seen on Teletext, read by Charlotte Green.
Scottish Premier League playoffs, Hibernian versus Airdrie. Hibernian have selection problems, with Chick Charnley completing a 5-match suspension and missing both legs.
Thanks to Bernard Stern of New Milton, Hampshire for that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Clive Anderson. And before we start round one, here's a cutting from a Lincolnshire doctor's newsletter.
In Britain, we're very lucky to have a health service which provides 24-hour home visiting by doctors who are too ill to come to the surgery.
Thanks to Caroline Jackson of Boston Links for sending us that. Francis, your first question. Who claims he stood alone after standing?
Who claims he stood alone after standing? Well, it's someone who stood for Parliament and then after standing found that he stood alone. I mean, it could be anyone. It could be Jerry Malone. It could be Neil Hamilton.
He can do better than
could
that.
Be, they can do better than that,
we know. I think his name is Azwar.
Yes.
Oh, that one.
Yes, he's the chap who claimed he had stood alone to another candidate. Rather than slip that candidate a couple of large fireds.
I think he's been sadly traduced. I mean, what could be more normal than to pay £5,000 to one of your opponents immediately after an election? How anybody could read any form of corruption into that seems extraordinary to me. The Labour Party is tough on sleaze and tough on the cause of sleaze. And that certainly, I think, is monstrous. And we deserve 2 points.
Well, you have them.
£5,000 is coming to you, Simon. Strictly speaking, only a loan, but don't feel the need to return it to this side of the moon.
Mohamed Sawa, the new MP for Glasgow Govan, has strenuously denied bribing a fellow candidate. He insists that the £5,000 he gave to the independent Labour candidate was simply a loan. Constituents say this proves he's not a true Scot. If you're asked for a loan in Govan, the correct response is, I'd like to help you, Jimmy, but I'm waiting for a gyro. Mr. Sawa, a multimillionaire, was immediately summoned to No. 10 Downing Street to explain his actions. He was then sent next door to No. 11, where Gordon Brown asked if he could borrow a few quid to balance the budget. Jeremy, who voiced their opposition to having no voice in an opposition vote?
The 1922 committee of Tory backbenchers have been electing their new executive, and they've elected an old-fashioned traditional Tory, Archie Hamilton, who doesn't stand for modern fads like walking upright or living on land. And because there was a suggestion when they were trying to think, how should we decide who should be the leader of the Tory party? And somebody said, well, why not ask members of the Tory party? And they said, that's ridiculous, these people are Tories, you can't ask them. You can't ask them to make sensible and rational decisions when they vote about things. And there was a fear that the Tory activists might choose a rather dashing and handsome William Hague. I should stress at this point that if you're a Tory activist, then Sir Cliff Richard is your idea of a teen rocker. But they'd probably do best to go for Clark, as he's rather obese, which increases the likelihood that he may possibly be a multi-celled organism.
It's always a problem. Is the 1922 committee called that because there are roughly 19 to 22 MPs of the Tory persuasion left? Is that the reason?
Yes, I think it is.
I thought it was a cheap holiday. Yes.
Somebody said to me at Parliament yesterday that William Hague is a golf ball waiting to happen. Whatever that means. Clive, which brown dog can see over a square mile?
Oh, square mile. Square mile is the City of London. That's the only square mile we've ever heard of. Well, the Labour Party have gone in with all these wild socialist policies, and they've given over the economy to the Bank of England. But they've also said that supervising banks in the city shouldn't be done by the Bank of England because they're obviously no good at it. So it'll be put in charge of somebody else. and the somebody else is the deputy governor of the Bank of England. But he's been given, he's taking over, I think it's called SIB, or SID or something. It's one of those sort of bodies, and it's going to supervise everything. So if you go and ask, well, supposing you're in Glasgow Govan, for example, and you wanted a loan, and a Labour MP were to give you a loan, then you'd have to check it out with, he's called Davies, I think, is the deputy governor, and you'd check it out with him to make sure you didn't have to give your money back, or you did, depending on the election result. I think that, gosh, I actually knew what the story was. You must have lowered the standard of the questions since I was last here.
New City Watchdog will have a change of name from that used under the Conservatives when it was known as Off-Bung. Eddie George disagreed with the Chancellor, saying there was nothing wrong with the old system, apart from missing the Mirror Group pensions fraud, Barings Bank, BCCI, Azal Nadir, the Guinness shares fraud, and the total collapse of Lloyd's Insurance. These were exceptional. They occurred on what the city calls a busy afternoon. Alan, listen to this.
This is going to stop, pure, Alan, isn't it?
Pure coincidence that I just lit a cigarette, thus making this the only major international sporting event where you can still... I am displaying a packet, listeners. There is going to be a total ban. Ultimately, there'll be a total ban on cigarette advertising, but for the time being, there's a total ban on the display of cigarettes and their logos and all the rest of it on motor cars and sportsmen. And
I'm suffering from passive smoking over here.
I'm sorry. That's a new way to demonstrate his point.
Sure. You want a bit of active smoking? Want to learn? It's so easy. You stick it in your mouth.
Stick it in your mouth and suck.
Yes,
most things in life are like that.
It's sad, some of these sports. They say they can't carry on at all without the sponsorship of a... I mean, what sort of game is it that you can't do it unless a tobacco company sponsors you?
So, but we're British. We can only do sports that allow you to be a huge, uncoordinated, overweight drunk with a hacking cough. I mean... Cricket, rugby, darts, snooker, motor racing, you know.
I think the Labour Party will allow fox hunting to be sponsored by a smoking company. So all the baggers can die falling off horses.
The tobacco giants claim advertising should be allowed to promote the positive side of smoking, claiming cigarettes can help prevent Alzheimer's disease. Ronald Reagan appeared in many cigarette ads and can't remember them doing any harm at all. So, the scores at the end of round one are Francis and Jeremy 3, but Alan and Clive clearly in the lead with 6 points. Let me start round two with an item spotted in the Litchfield Mercury.
Andrew Bodger and Barry Acheson have thrown out their razors and are growing moustaches, ready for their roles as sexy Spaniards in Litchfield Player's all-female production of The Odd Couple.
Thanks to Jonathan Smith of Litchfield staff for sending that. Francis, who said that Britain's identity was flagging?
Oh, it's some company with time on its hands. Wolf Olins, they're called. One of these design firms that make an absolute fortune by going to people like, shall we say, the BBC, and saying, that logo of yours, a bit out of date. I think if you have a different shape of B, then you'll look much more modern, and here's our invoice for £300,000. And they've now done it to the whole country. They say that for the new millennium, Britain needs a new brand identity and logo and stuff, and so the Union Jack's got to go, and you've got to have some new pastel-coloured thing with a red rose on it for the new era. And Great Britain can't be called Great Britain anymore, because great is out of date, and it's going to be called Brilliant Britain or something like that. Wicked.
Should just be called, oh, not so bad.
Britain.
Jeremy, which classified ads might be classified?
Is this the advert for MI5? Not the furniture warehouse. Yeah, in the creative and media section of The Guardian this week, there was an advert for MI5. It's got a funny slogan, like, create waves but not... stop floodgates or something. And they're advertising now in the paper because they can't get anyone to join MI5. Because they used to just go, you know, to Cambridge and
and say, do you want to join and are you a communist? And then they'd sign them up. And then now they go to Cambridge and people say, well, I'm sorry, I've just been given my own series on the television. So they can't get anyone. So they're having to advertise all over the place and set up stalls. And they're going to have stalls at church fairs and things like that. Like the RAC, you know, and you're going to go and drain up.
They just want to open up with us. It's not called MI5, it's me called Spies Are Us.
I hate to tell you, Clive, that joke was made by Richard Littlejohn in the Mail this week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. You feel dirty now.
How shaming.
It's very touching because it didn't say anything about the nature of their work. And what it said was, can you keep a secret? Well, please try not to tell your friends you're applying for this job, because we try to keep things a bit secret. But no experience required. All ages welcome. People with disabilities especially welcome, especially if you're a chronic alcoholic. And then all they said was, we have a fantastic sports and social club and a very nice canteen.
And fundraisers. They said, we're looking for teachers, fundraisers, journalists. The next time someone comes around collecting for cerebral palsy and you're just saying, oh, I'll just get some change, and they'll say, the geese are flying low tonight.
That's it. It's an ideal new job for Eric Cantona, I should have thought.
MI5 have advertised for secret agents in the classified jobs section of The Guardian. This came as a surprise, since would-be spies always used to look at the recruitment section of Gay News. MI5 asked applicants not to tell anyone about their interviews, but if they really wanted to keep it a secret, they should have advertised on Channel 5. Clive, listen to this. Clive, which trawler has thrown his last sardine to the seagull?
Oh, this is very obscure, isn't it? It's Eric, who for some reason has decided he's going to go into films. Eric Cantona. And I presume it's kung fu movies he's going to be going into. But he's had enough of playing for Manchester United, because they keep winning the whole time, except in Europe when he was useless. And on off he goes. So that's the only possible answer to that.
Fine, yes, Eric Cantona's shock decision to retire. He says he's never going to play football again, and to prove it, he's considering signing for Arsenal. But his form in recent months had been declining. In the last four games of the season, his normally deadly right foot missed two penalties and three fans. Despite this, he will always be seen as a genius in footballing terms. For a start, he can count up to 20 without taking his boots off, or 21 without taking his pants down. Alan, how are dresses to die for going under the hammer?
I don't like the idea of the phrase under the hammer being associated with the Princess of Wales, because it fills my mind with images that don't belong on a family programme. But the, she's modelling in an Argos catalogue or something. She's getting rid of all this tax that you and I have been paying for down the long arches of the years, Simon. And she's selling it for charity.
But the pictures of her look a bit weird. They look like a Lady Di lookalike. They don't look like her at all. So they've been taken a very strange way.
No, she does look like a lookalike. She really does.
Yeah.
She looks exactly like a lookalike.
Does she?
She's a spitting image of a lookalike.
No, I don't.
No,
it's such an odd thing to do, to sell your frocks. You have no control over the sort of people who would buy them.
You would never sell your frocks, would
you? No. Well, that's what I was coming to. I hope I don't come to it. But I mean, there are levels of perversion out there. You know, you really don't want heads of MI5 poncing up and down outside King's.
Well, Norman St. John Stevens bought Queen Victoria's knickers at auction a few years ago. Or Lord St. John of Foresby, as I suppose we must now call him. Lord Crindle of Foresby. And he keeps them, I believe, in his bedchamber.
Oh, no.
Really?
No, I've seen them. They're wall-mounted, like a very big butterfly.
What circumstance did you see them?
St. John Stevens' bedchamber?
No. It's not in his bedchamber.
He said, come up and see my knickers sometime.
Carrying a copy of Giovanni's Room at the time.
Did she go to one of his gigs and throw them at the stage or something?
And the scores at the end of round two are Francis and Jeremy 7, with Alan and Clive holding on to the lead with 10 points. We start round three with a cutting from the North Hertfordshire District newsletter.
This month sees the welcome return of long-horned cattle to Oughton Head Common in Hitchin. Despite some initial concerns when they were introduced last summer, the longhorns have proved to be friendly and docile, and many local residents have become attached to them.
Thanks to Nicholas and Linda Aird of Hitchin for that. Francis, who was the seller when a cellar was sold?
Oh, it's the other one, not Princess Di. That other national pin-up who looks like a look-alike. Well, she looks more like one of the Teletubbies, really. Norman St. John, Lord Lloyd Webber, I think. Who, for the last two or three elections, has issued his traditional threat that if Labour gets in, he's going to leave the country. And Labour has got in, and instead he's decided that his wine cellar is going to emigrate instead, and he's going to stay put. So he's bogged it all off to various dodgy Las Vegas hotels and things, vast sums of money. And he's decides he's going to learn to live with Blair's Britain, but just go teetotal, I suppose. I don't know why he's selling off his wine. He's not short of a bob or two, is he?
Because he looks too young to drink. I mean, every day he'll go down to the cellar, and the buck will say, excuse me, sir, have you got any means of identification? Tiny baby-faced thing wandering around among his encrusted bottles, unable to drink them.
To the auction of Andrew Lloyd Webber's extensive wine cellar, he decided to sell his wine when he realised he didn't need alcohol to become rat-faced. He hasn't always been a connoisseur. For years, he was content to put up with terrible old wines until finally he decided to stop casting Sarah Brightman. Every time he had a hit musical, Lloyd Webber would celebrate by buying more wine. The cases from Phantom of the Opera and Starlight Express were quickly snapped up, though there was a surprising lack of interest in bottles marked From Cats. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, why did two rings make a polite right?
Debrettes, who are these entirely useless etiquette people that tell you things like how you should address a baronet if you prefer not to call him an inbred, parasitic, self-serving moron. And they tell you things like which foot you should put your athlete's foot powder on first and things like that. And they've said that you shouldn't answer the phone too quickly. Because people have been complaining that insurance companies have been overly prompt, which is unheard of. I mean, they never take years to pay out. But they answer the phone too quickly. And this is frightening to British people. You phone somebody up because you want a bit of time on hold, don't you? You want a bit of green sleeve just to compose yourself and think about what you're going to... I mean, British people, most British people still think you shouldn't really need a phone if you speak loudly and clearly. Said that these insurance people decided that they have to wait for eight rings or something because otherwise people will be put off. British people will be put off. And I don't think that the expression to be put off exists in any other language. In French, the same as I don't think, you know, there's a French equivalent of I better take my cardi off or I shan't feel the benefit. There isn't Italian for I like pasta but it doesn't like me. The British people are put off by phoning people up and having the phone answered. Terrifying.
Absolutely. Big companies are now modifying their exchange systems to make all telephones ring at least three times, at which point they're immediately answered by a recording saying you're in a queue and inflicting 17 minutes of Song Sung Blue by Neil Diamond. This was confirmed by Debrett's Guide to Etiquette and Modern Manners, which is incidentally now required reading for the new Labour government. The Cabinet was instructed that it's poor form to wear sunglasses indoors, except, of course, when the Prime Minister bends over. Clive, how did too many coughs spoil the brothel?
Oh, yes.
Giving you the
secret signal?
Oh, yeah,
well, I know that story. Yes, there was a male brothel we're talking about here. Yes, I did see that story. Somewhere in the smarter bit of town. Oddly enough, I didn't read the story. I should have done for this story, but Alan is is up on it. There was a male brothel, and they always, papers like to make a link to, it's only half a mile away from Buckingham Palace, or it was next door to Prince Margaret's house, or something like that. And I should have read the story. That was the headline.
Had you read the story, it would have had a wonderful aside, because the man who ran it, I think it was called James Layton, he'd won prizes, it said, for his hanging baskets. It's true. and I thought, oh yes, it was 150 yards from Kenny Palace.
But he was done for living on immoral earnings, which is what is immoral about the man. Clearly. Interestingly, there was a woman judge, I noticed, because I couldn't really risk having a male judge saying, hello, how's business? it was immoral earnings, because, of course, he's pimping. He's not doing the work. He's simply taking the money and exploiting. This is basic, you know, capitalism. He's exploiting the people who are doing the work. And if you're going to work in a brothel, you should be prepared to roll your sleeves up, I think.
This is David Beatty, the owner of a high-class gay brothel who was jailed for 18 months. The brothel was only 150 yards away from Kensington Palace, the home of Princess Diana. Being so close to a house of ill repute, strange men coming and going all the time could have been a cause of major embarrassment. But Mr. Beatty said his clients didn't seem to mind. Alan, who proved they weren't the top heavy people store?
Apparently this big woman went into Harrods, a woman called Ellen Caden, an American woman. And she was wearing leggings. Or either she hadn't ironed her legs that morning, but anyway, she had these wrinkles. And they threw her up for offending the Harrods dress code.
But her defence was she was simply fat, and they're entitled to wear whatever she likes. There's some exception.
She said they threw me up because I was fat. Well, mm-hmm. Apparently it was in the food hall, someone came up and said, I'd like £3 of that, will you make it?
The American tourist Eileen Cadden said that she'd been thrown out of Harrods for being overweight, though there must have been more to it than that, because if they ejected every garishly overdressed loud American, they wouldn't have any customers left. Mrs. Cadden, who's 15 stone, demanded to see the store's owner, Mohammed Al-Fayed. When told he was busy, she stormed into his office, saying that if Mohammed wouldn't come to the mountain... And the scores at the end of round three are Francis and Jeremy, 11, but Alan and Clive still ahead with 14 points. Francis, listen to this.
We meet every night at 8. And I don't get home till late. I say to myself each day, baby, oh, long, long live.
Francis, why does a love life mean a shorter life to love?
Worms have been experimented on and studied, and scientists have found that male worms, if they're left to their own devices, sit around on the sofa drinking a lot of lager and watching football on telly and have a very long life. But if you put female worms in with them, then the male worms get very excited and spend all their time chasing these female worms, and they die of exhaustion after a couple of hours. And extrapolating from this, for no obvious reason, they've decided that male humans would have longer lives if they were entirely celibate.
I suppose if you remain single, there's less chance of you dying in a road accident on the way to a discount kitchen furniture warehouse, isn't there? Of being hit by a hanging basket as you walk round a garden centre.
Has the romance gone out of your life, Jeremy?
It's the discovery, alleged, that men would live much longer if they refrained totally from all sexual activity, which explains why many Catholic priests often live well into their late 20s. Jeremy, where was the sweet smell of success, a tonic for sales?
Brixton Ritzy. Brixton Ritzy used to go down there years ago. Before it was gentrified, you used to go down the Brixton Ritzy and you'd get the lovely wafting swell of marijuana round the auditorium. It's all changed. They got money from Europe and they've sort of tarted up the Ritzy. And Brixton's changed now since all the white people moved in and spoilt it, stinking the place out with their bland food. And but in the Brixton Ritzy, they've been trying out this smelly vision to advertise alcohol. And I normally go to the pictures in Streatham, where you quite often, you know, nostrils are filled with the smell of alcohol, followed by methane and urine. but they've been trying it out in the pictures. When you have an advert now for Gordon's, is it? Gordon's gin. You can smell gin. And so, you know, you're thinking, oh, God, I hope they don't have a Dynarod advert coming up.
Clive, where is the last rite of the Poms to be insulted?
This wouldn't be an Australian question, would it? By any chance?
Yes.
And clearly people are still... clearly they've had made a ruling in Australia that the British are a race capable of being insulted, and they've got a politician going around at the moment insulting everybody in Australia. He slags off the Asians and the Aborigines, and I suppose he must have turned his attention to the British. And they've either ruled that they can't do it to us. And the other thing that occurs to me that... other thing goes, which I really must read the papers before coming to the paper, is that, goodness, I'm next to Alan.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from the Kent Messenger. A bus was stolen from outside the North Beat depot last night and abandoned undamaged in Dartford. Managers at Kentish Bus believe the vehicle, a new 498 model, worth £80,000, was taken by someone who knew how to drive it.
Jeremy.
And Mrs. Cheryl Colley from Penarth in the Vale of Glamorgan has sent a listing, a radio listing, from the Daily Mail Weekend magazine. And this is the listing for Mansfield Park, Radio 4, 2:30 p.m. Despite a glut of televised Jane Austen, fans will warm to Amanda Root's gentle Fanny.
Chance lost it, and we haven't even got to the final scores. Clive.
Well, I'm not going to stoop that low with this. This is from a much more sensible magazine, Bird Watching, and it was sent in by somebody who says he's not Hugh Scully. It's H. Scully. Other sightings, a singing rock pipit at Hoveringham was an unusual record, but the return of black redstarts to Nottingham was much more expected. Two or three birds were singing in the city centre. Pied flycatchers were seen at Elton and the major oak in Sherwood Forest. A first summer shag delighted many visitors. A first summer shag delighted many visitors to Colwick Country Park during the early part of the month.
Alan.
From the Dundee Evening Telegraph. It says, elderly budgies often have strokes. The bird loses its ability to grip, and while bright-eyed and lively enough to look at, can do little more than shuffle about on the bottom of the cage. You could take measures to help him. Lower his perches, so that if he falls, he won't fall far. Remove the bell, if he has one, so that he does not accidentally walk into it. Similarly, if he has a mirror, remove that too, so that it does not confuse him. And use brown paper for the floor of his cage, not newspaper. Senile budgies are apt to peck the lettering under the impression that it is food.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score at the end of the final show of the series. Francis and Jeremy scorching back with 16, but Alan and Clive just clinging on with 17 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Hampshire Chronicle sent in by Oliver Gray of Winchester.
Mr. Bates said Parks was very much under the influence of the drug when he committed the offence. As some indication of his state of mind, the reason he gave for stealing the clock was to release the cuckoo.
That's all for this series. We'll be back at the Edinburgh Festival in August. Till then, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Green, Clive Anderson and Jeremy Hardy. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Rycroft and David Spicer. The broadcast assistant was Carol Smith and the producer was Aled Evans.